Well, today we are continuing our series of looking at some stories in the Old Testament that we may be familiar with. And so if you grew up in the church, you probably know today's story very well. And if you didn't grow up in the church, you've probably seen pictures, images from this story. You've heard about it. Today we're talking about Noah and the Ark. And so, as Pastor Steve said last week, we're not paying attention to the story to see where are the realistic details. We don't need to know just how big that boat was for our purpose today. Instead, it's where are we in this story? Who are we in this story? So, Jamie, will you come share it with us?
Today's scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 14 and 18 through 22 of the New International Version. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them." Noah did everything just as God commanded him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So somewhere after the garden, Adam and Eve have taken a bite of the fruit that they were not supposed to eat of. Humanity has spread. We have realized that our free will can be used to not choose God, but to choose ourselves. This turning of inward desires. We can do whatever we want for ourselves. It doesn't matter what God's told us to do. And so that has become rampant in all the area. And so the Bible tells us that evil and hatred and murder and abuse is all over. And it is so bad that the Bible tells us God looks down and is grieved because of what the world has become. This world in which he created humans to have a relationship with, to love with, have turned away. And our grieving God looks down and says, the only thing to do is to start over. Imagine how bad it must have been for God to look down and come to that decision. Because even those that had turned away from him, he still loved. And in the midst of this, there is Noah. We do not know anything about Noah other than he is righteous. He walks with God. We don't know what he does for a living. We don't know if he had the skills to build this boat. But we know that he hears God and he listens to God. And this story that is all about him, he never once speaks. I found that interesting this week when I was studying this. It never says, "And Noah said, well, God, I'm not sure that I want to build that boat." Or, "God, what do you mean you're going to flood the earth?" What it says is, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. This is what we know of Noah. He is righteous, he listens, and he obeys. What if Noah was just the only one that was still listening to God during this time? I imagine if you start to build a boat as big as the Bible describes here, if you start to cut down those trees and put everything together, and you start telling people, "I think you should turn away from your sin because there's a flood coming," I think maybe the people around him would have noticed that And so can you imagine him taking this faith, trying to build this boat, and having the people surrounding him saying, "What are you doing? Why are you talking about this God? Why are you saying that you have to save us? We're fine. We're great. We're the happiest we've ever been. We can do whatever we want. We can choose to hate whoever we want. We can choose to steal whatever we want. We can choose to murder whoever upsets us. We're living a high life. We're the happiest we have ever been. Why are you talking about this flood that's coming? What makes you think you're actually going to be able to get two lions on that boat?" This is probably the life that Noah is living. So imagine this faith that he has to have to stand out against the naysayers that are around him. And it may think, well, Noah's going a little crazy. I'm sure Noah thought, oof, am I going crazy? Am I hearing voices? But then verse 17, the rain comes. For 40 days, the flood kept coming. The waters increased. They increased so greatly that the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose above the mountains, and they rose so high that it was a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. The birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm, and all of mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men, animals, creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air. Only Noah was left, and those with him on the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and all the livestock. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. 150 days of having faith. God has got us. He told us to build this boat. He's going to help us land safely. I know we're okay. Can you imagine what that ark smelled like? Next Sunday, actually, the other mission team from the youth group is going to Gatlinburg. And on our way home, one of our fun events is that we're going to stop at the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. And it's the life-size ark. They don't know this yet. This is a spoiler. It's the life-size ark that you get to walk through and actually see. This is what the Bible says the dimensions would be. This is maybe where the animals would be. And so I'm going to have a really great story to tell after visiting that. But before visiting that, can you imagine what that ark must have been like? What it smelled like, what it sounded like. I remember hearing once someone said, God must have like made all the animals sleep for that 150 days. Because otherwise, how could you bear it? I mean, there's bees buzzing around, crickets that won't stop chirping, there's frogs making noise, and then that lion roar. Plus you have an elephant in there. Not to mention just the different types of dogs that were probably yipping and yapping and barking. I can't imagine it. But through all of that, 150 days of only water surrounding them, Noah still has faith. And so finally, he starts to check for land. The ark has come to rest, and so he sends out a raven, but it can only fly back and forth because there's nowhere for it to stop. So he waits, more patience. And so he sends out a dove, but it can see nowhere to land, and so it comes back. And so he waits again. And he sends out a dove, and finally it returns with a leaf. Okay, there's sign. A tree is visible. This is progress. But he doesn't get out yet. He still waits and has patience. Finally, he sends out a dove, and it doesn't come back because it has found a home to make. And so Noah knows it is time. So verse 18 says, "So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that moved along the ground, all the birds, everything that moves on the earth came out of the ark, one after another." This is the picture that we're all familiar with. Noah is stepping out of the ark with a staff like Moses, and he's got this really long white beard because it's been 150 days, and all the lions and the elephants are walking along beside him, and he just looks so majestic. I'm not doing it justice right now, but just picture it. And then behind him, of course, there is the rainbow. So when he steps out of that boat, if I was Noah, I think maybe I would have been a little selfish, and I would have thought, all right, God picked me. This is like my land now. I'm the king. I can do whatever I want. But it doesn't tell us that Noah had that thought. Instead, the first thing he does is he kneels. Noah builds an altar to the Lord, and he thanks him for thinking of him and his family and for saving them. And this is what gets us to the promise from God. Chapter 9, verse 11 says, it's God speaking, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. This is a sign of the covenant that I'm making between me, you, every living creature, and all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and all of the earth. And whenever you see this rainbow, when the clouds come, you still know that I have this covenant with you. This promise, I love that it says, for all generations to come. So our title today, Somewhere Under the Rainbow, that's where we are today. We are still under this rainbow of God's promise. That covenant was made for us. God's grace and love is still available. No matter if we end up being like the people or more like Noah. Because what I got from this story was that there's potential in all of us to be either one of these. We can try to be righteous and be like Noah. We can still hear God's voice. We can listen. We can obey. We can walk with God. Or we can be like the people, and we can be turned inward, and we can only be focusing on ourselves. We have no time for God. There's no space for him. I don't need to talk to God. I am all I need. I was journaling about this earlier this week, and I wrote, some days I feel like Noah. I feel like I'm walking with God, and I feel like we are so close. But other days, I feel like the rest of humanity in this story. And I feel like I think I'm all I need, and I don't talk to God. He's not the first person I go to. I'm okay. I'm all I need. I can make my decisions on my own. I don't need to make time for him. I don't need to talk to him. So we have potential. Because God is both judgment and salvation. So the rainbow that is above us that holds God's promise shows he wants nothing but a loving relationship with us. When you walk down the education wing, when you go pick up your kids from Sunday school, like most of you will, or as you walk to your own Sunday school class, there is a rainbow painted in the hallway. That is a daily reminder for us. Every time you walk down that hall, I hope you will just think to stop for a moment and realize God has promised to love me no matter who I am or what I do. And so when you walk past that rainbow, if you have a feeling of, oh, I don't deserve it, I hope that you'll just remember that all you have to do is say, God, I think I need forgiveness for this thing. And that's all you have to do. It's the beauty of God's love is you just have to speak, I need forgiveness, and it is given to us. How amazing is that? We don't have to go and do 20 push-ups or anything like that. It's just given. So when you see that rainbow in the hall, or if you see a rainbow over your house, it's rained a lot this year, so there's a good chance you're going to see a few more. I hope you remember, God's love and God's grace is freely available to me. No matter if I am acting a little bit like Noah, or if I'm acting a little bit like the rest of the people in this story. Between the rainbow and the cross, God only seeks to love us and for us to love him in return. Wherever you are in your own personal journey, I hope you can think to yourself, who is it that I'm going to be? Because our God just wants you to turn to him and to say yes and to love him. Will you pray with me? God, in this world, it is sometimes hard to realize that we are not enough and that you are needed. So I pray, Lord, that this story would sit differently in our hearts and that, God, we would recognize that your grace and your love is freely given to us if we just accept it. Lord, will you help us to be a little more like Noah and ultimately a little more like your son, Jesus Christ, every single day. In your holy name, amen.